you know, this summer I was moving, in fall, I was moving demo equipment a lot. Mm-hmm. And one of the things I was moving a lot was our strip till bar.
Okay.
And it's wide, you know, the ST series strip till bar, it's wide. And I found that the little marker arm was bent back, and I was like, well, I didn't hit nothing.
This doesn't do that.
Are we going to get started?
Yeah, we can get started.
Get rolling.
Bop it.
Welcome to Everything Ag, and then some, presented by Kibble Equipment, a frequently fun, usually informative, and always tangent-filled look at the industry that feeds the world, from cutting-edge John Deere technology to the way social media impacts the agriculture industry. No topic is off-topic. I tried to do the intro there from memory.
You did. There's no notes on your computer.
I almost made it through without fumbling it. It was 90% of the way there, and then I tripped over my feet at the end. It's like a running back gets loose, and you're like, oh, he's going to go score a touchdown. Nope, I tripped at the five-yard line. Damn it. So we're back at Commodity Classic 2024 in Houston, Texas. We are live at the John Deere booth. We have another special guest today from John Deere. So it's me, Kibbleman Sam. Bossman Chris is to my right. Margo's back.
I'm back.
For her fourth episode.
When
she makes
up
the magic number five, we're going to get her a jacket. And then we are also joined by Brian Earwood.
That's right.
Brian with a Y, correct?
Yes.
Just that's an important detail.
It is.
And you are the product marketing manager for large frame tractors. Is that correct?
That's correct.
Or all the tractors?
Large.
Big ones.
Yep.
Just the big ones.
Yep. So like seven and above?
That's right.
Okay.
Yep. Seven, eight, nines.
Today, we're going to spend a lot of time talking about probably the most marquee product launch that was done here at Commodity Classic, which was the new 9RX. Do you want to give a little background on yourself, kind of where you came from, what your interests are, whether you prefer chunky or creamy peanut butter, anything you'd like to share with our audience?
All right. Well, I grew up actually in Virginia Beach, Virginia area. Oh. So very different than
You're not an Iowa dude.
No.
How about the big tractors in Virginia Beach?
Yeah, a lot of those, right?
Is that like a surfing
like
town?
Like fives raking the sand.
Surfing, right? A lot of military, okay. Aircraft carriers, gotcha. Planes, so a lot of that. But
a lot of beachcombing tractors.
Yeah. But I met my wife in Iowa, actually. So,
Me too.
Yeah, so I like Iowa now. Yeah. It's good. Yeah, I got my wife, two younger kids. We live in Waterloo. And I've been at Deere 10 years now.
Okay.
So background in engineering, actually.
Oh.
So little tidbit, I actually worked at NASA two summers during college. So this whole space theme launch like my two worlds colliding.
What did you do? So,
are we wrecking it or is it pretty good?
No, it's not too bad.
Travesty.
Yeah. So no, it's been fun. It's been fun getting to do this here.
What did you do at NASA?
It was like structural analysis of.
I was hoping you were going to say I cleaned the bathrooms.
Yeah,
I went to space camp.
Yeah, right. But so it's been fun, and whole career's been at Deere. Used to be in engineering, and then customer support, and now marketing. So
what's up? I get in the weeds sometimes. What part of engineering?
Design and test. Engineering.
Like a specific component area or the whole?
Started off in combines. So looked at some of our throughput, some of that kind of data and field test engineering there.
Okay.
So, yeah.
So,
but you must be an extrovert engineer because you're, the joke between an introvert, this is software engineers actually.
Yeah.
What's the difference between an introvert software engineer and an extrovert software engineer? Introvert stares at their shoes and extrovert stares at your shoes. Oh.
But this has been awesome. It's exciting to finally get to launch this new tractor and super, super excited to talk about that today.
Yeah. Also, since you worked at NASA and you're well-versed in space terms, I've been trying to drop as many space references in these podcasts as I can fit. The cornier, the better.
Okay.
I mean, so why don't I just ask you the same question we asked Kramer yesterday? What about the new 9RX makes it light years ahead of the competition?
The easy answer to that is it's got 830 horsepower.
Yep.
I mean,
how wide is the hood on that thing? It's got to be 5.5 feet wide.
I can stand in front of it, stretch my arms out. I mean, I'm not as big as you, but so it's probably 5.5, 6 feet wide.
So, because I went to hug it.
Yeah.
I was like, wow, you're big.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, that's the biggest thing, right? That enables, that's the heartbeat for everything else, is that big JD 18 engine out front that puts out all that power.
It's John Deere engine.
John Deere.
Yes.
Yeah,
yes.
John
that's
Deere
huge.
Yeah. It's built at in Waterloo at our engine factory there.
I mean, we dealt with it for many years, but the higher horse 9Rs used to be the Cummins 15-liter engine.
Yep.
And all of a sudden, you have to work on a John Deere engine and know a John Deere engine. Now you've also got to know the Cummins engine and all the things that go along with that, you know, whether it was injectors or...
You know, diagnostics is different.
Yep.
You know, the 18-liter had come out on, like, self-propelled forage harvesters, right? And then it's like, when are we going to get that into tractors? And it's like, hey, well, why don't we just hold on just a little bit.
Patient.
Here it is.
Yep, for sure. So.
So I have to ask. When you start the 18-liter, how long does it take to crank? Is it better? Like, does it just pop right off like it should?
Yeah, I mean, it really doesn't take that long. No. Yeah.
I mean, the 13.5 is like, oh, here we go.
But, yeah, so it's, I mean, outside of that, though, completely new design from the ground up. I think internally we've been saying the only thing that stayed the same is the green and yellow. I mean, engineering had a clean sheet of paper to just do what made sense, and I think they delivered on that, and customers have been super excited to get to run it and happy how it performs.
I think we're bearing the lead here. What doesn't this tractor have?
DEF.
Yeah. Or a particulate filter.
Correct. Right. No DPF, no DEF.
Yeah. No DOC. So when people say it doesn't have emissions, it does.
Yeah.
It has an EGR.
It's like basically almost like back to tier 3.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yep.
We like to say it is final tier 4, stage 5 compliant. We just meet that using only EGR.
And I think people are pretty excited about the no DEF thing. Like, I think that'll sell tractors, honestly. Yeah.
Well, farmers love things, you know, like taxes, subscriptions.
And DEF.
That's what we lead with.
Yeah. I'd like to clarify, too, it's on all three of the models. So the 710, 770, and 830 all don't use DEF.
Yeah, that's a big deal. So I stopped at the Case booth, and it's a 715. Is that the big dog? And it's got like an 85-gallon DEF tank. So it's like 850 pounds of DEF, you know.
Yep.
Did their tears energize you for the day?
I get fueled on Case IH tears. But no, that's a big deal. It's a big difference.
Yeah.
One less thing to deal with. Well, the funny story, we were talking to Michael, and he said that during the whole engineering, because you got to like ship these things out to do testing, right?
Yep.
You guys 3D printed a blue DEF cap to go on the fast fill, so everyone thought it had DEF.
Yep. We did that. We put 690 stickers on the side.
Yep. Saw those.
We all saw those out there. But, yeah, we kind of took that approach with it's going to get out there, so let's just have some fun with what we put on them and let the internet do its thing, and it did. So.
Yeah, I felt like for a long time, though, nobody could get a picture of that thing unless it was on a semi. The only pictures I saw of it for 6 months were it was strapped to a semi, which honestly, I'm surprised you can carry that thing on a semi trailer. What is it?
Yeah,
what does it weigh?
So out of the factory with no ballast, it's 74,000 pounds. Then you can ballast it up to 84,000 pounds. So say you need a 4-axle truck, 3-axle trailer.
So insider training, did you buy stock in like Landall and all the other trailer
Absolutely
manufacturers
not.
Before this thing? Because we had to order a new one.
Yeah.
So for me, you know, when I see an 830 horse tractor and I go back to my roots, which was tillage, we would always build new tillage equipment bigger than we could pull. Because we always knew that before the end of the life cycle of this thing, you know, the horsepower is going to then match or exceed that tillage tool. You don't want to build it, you know, just right away, because then you end up having tractors that guys are trying to pull them with way too many horsepower. They're pulling them faster than they're designed to be. They're pulling them apart.
Yeah.
So build it bigger. And then hopefully the horsepower catches up. So I'm looking at like 13 shank 2730 rippers. Like, oh my God, we can sell those now.
Yeah.
No, and actually run them to speed so they level.
Yeah. Yeah. Or 45 foot high speed disc. I see a lot of videos of it pulling a 45 foot 2680H. I wouldn't even sell a guy one, you know, because there's just the horsepower didn't exist. Whether you're pulling it with a Case or a Fendt or a John Deere, there wasn't enough horsepower to pull it fast and as it should be. Well, now we can.
It's a really good looking model in that. That tractor pulling that 45-foot disc.
Oh, yeah.
Too. Yeah. It's me.
Oh, it's like, where are we going?
But no, yeah, seriously, we you hit on the 13 shank. Spent some time in Illinois this fall with customers who have been running 11 shank, and we brought out 13 shank with this tractor at all three different power levels, and really cool to see the difference that you can make with this new tractor out there, eliminating passes by going wider and deeper, too.
But one important detail, there's no wheel options
correct
anymore. They have to be on a four-track
four track only
system. Yep. And it's a lot of it's the weight.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. You got the weight,
the flotation,
traction needed as well. And then if you, you know, kind of look at what it would take to have a wheeled option, how wide it would be, it's just not practical. Mm-hmm. So, yeah.
Yeah. Like 700 track triples.
Yeah.
About 25 and a half feet wide.
But something also good to note is width-wise, we have a 120-inch spacing option, yep. but it's no wider than our current, you know, 9RX 640. So
it's longer.
It is. It's actually only a foot and a half longer. Than,
are you kidding me?
It feels longer just with the way that what you did with the fuel tanks and how the yep. hydraulics on the back. The
some stance. Of the reasons too. Yep. Yeah, you got like 640 or that, you know, and below you got the suitcase weights out in front.
Yep.
Now
oh,
that
yep.
ballast is tucked underneath the front of the engine, and then. Yeah, just the way we're able to design it. It's only on a foot and a half overall length. So.
Wow. I didn't yeah. realize. I thought it was probably like 5 feet longer. I would have guessed.
Yeah.
If you asked me, I'd have been like, oh, it's 5 feet longer.
And turning know. Radius is only a foot more than the 9RX 640.
Wow. Oh, okay.
Yeah.
So it's not big and clumsy.
No. No. Not at all. So.
Wow.
You attended all the classes, right?
I was listening.
Yeah. You saw me in a spacesuit.
But yours fit better than Kramer's.
Oh, yeah. He was thrilled about those.
I liked the shoes. The
yeah,
shoes
the
were
shoes
sweet.
Were neat. Yeah. yeah.
I want the shoes. I don't know about the suit. I don't know what I would do with that. I'm sure there's not a size that would have fit me anyway. They would have had to put two of them together. But the shoes, I'm like, I want those.
Yeah, that's pretty cool.
Can you just order those from Nike or did you?
Yeah. Yeah, that's right. A guy on our team built those out.
Because you can just get custom Nikes,
Oh,
right?
I didn't know that.
Yeah, you can just.
Green and yellows.
Yeah.
Write that down. Or whatever your team colors.
Oh, I mean, my wife would hate those. You are not wearing those shoes again. I like them. These are my two favorite colors. How do we come up with 830 horsepower? And how do we segment it out, you know, 710, 770, and 830?
It kind of goes back to, you know, that JD18 engine, looking at lower limit, middle limit, upper limit of what we can do. I think that's some of what went into those horsepower levels.
What about the transmission? What do we got?
Yeah, brand new. E21 transmission, so more designed around how our E23 operates on the 8Rs, but completely new, got additional gears in there, a lot more responsive shifts in this one, and really designed all around handling that 830 horsepower, which is a big deal, right? We want it to last and perform.
Like Margaret said, I want to turn the key and just feel what that power feels like underneath you, you know? So
We were standing next to it, and, you know, so it doesn't have DEF and it doesn't have a particulate filter, but the muffler is still rather large in, you know, the right front window. And we're like, there's nothing in there? He's like, no, that's just all muffler. I'm like, oh.
So he said someone's going to straight pipe it.
then we started talking about product update or product upgrade kits, and we thought that a chrome stack would be a great puck.
Yes. I heard that adds horsepower too, right?
at least 30 or 40.
Yeah. Yeah. Perception's reality.
Yeah.
I know it did on my old 1994 Chevy pickup. Straight piping it made it a real high performance.
Did you have? Were you the guy that had it coming up the box with the dust or the rain cap too? Were you that guy?
Do I look like that kind of guy? Well, so the funny thing was, my grandpa, who was pretty hard of hearing, you know, when he got older, he actually, he willed me his truck. So that was the truck. It had straight pipes on already. So I was like, Grandpa, why do you have dual exhaust cat back straight pipes? And he goes, well, because I couldn't hear when I turned on my truck. So I took it to the exhaust shop and had him take the muffler off. You want to make sure you don't pull into the garage and forget about it, mm-hmm. right? Yeah. Tell me a little bit more about the hydraulics.
So big targeted customer area that we're looking at, air seating. You need a ton of hydraulic flow to operate those trains. And so with this new tractor, we do have a triple pump option that puts out 168 gallons a minute of flow straight back to the implement. So a little bit different design there where it's a split system. So we have designated pumps that go to our steering, our brakes, and then transmissions all internal there. And then we have hydraulic pumps dedicated solely to the implement as well now.
So like the whole priority system, it's just completely split.
Yeah.
Well, in the past, you had a priority valves, right?
Yeah, yeah. We still have flow share that you can, you know, set up if you want to do that. But yeah, just the whole system is split. So hydraulic flow goes straight back to the implement.
Well, and then we say it's an 830 horse tractor too, but if you order it with IPM,
yeah.
which you're going to be utilizing IPM when you are running an air seater, what's your max horsepower?
Yeah, so you get 40 additional horsepower at that rated engine RPM is where you get that horsepower out.
When you're using hydraulic flow
yep.
requirements like air seating?
Correct, yep. Yep, you're right on.
Yeah, so 900 horsepower.
Pretty close.
Pretty close.
That, yeah. 870.
I'm rounding up.
Yeah.
Well, IPM, so Intelligent Power Management.
Yes.
Like three TLAs.
Sorry, yeah.
Yeah.
So the whole concept there is that we know that the horsepower is needed for something not in the drivetrain, so we're not going to damage anything.
Right. Yeah.
My 870 to 900 math was as bad as, I don't know if you've ever seen the Family Guy episode, but there's one where he's talking about how long his dad has worked at this factory. And he goes, my dad's been working at this factory for 60 years. That's almost 80 years. Good math, Sam. So in all the testing that you've done with this, primarily has it been air seeders that we've been putting this in front of, or?
Yeah, so we've done a lot of testing. It's been air seeding, it's been tillage, it's been grain carts. I mean, we've even done stuff with, you know, a blade on the front of it. So like,
sure.
it's seen a lot of different operations.
This will probably be a big one in the construction industry too.
Yeah, we do have two scraper editions. So the 710, 770 model will be a scraper edition as well. So if that interests you and you got pans, you can do that.
Okay, throwing it out there for the farm show, we need to find an old two-banger 830.
Why an 830?
Next to that 830.
You
are thinking.
Somebody came up with that at the bar. I didn't come up with that.
You should have just taken the credit, Chris, because I had a lot of respect for you just now, and then you took it all away. So along with the tractor, right, there was a new release on the air seeder line, especially with the air cart.
Yep.
The 850.
850T.
T. What's T. the T stand for?
Trailing.
You got it.
I went to class. Oh.
She was not asleep during that class.
This one is an L because it's leading. So your toe between is an L and your toe behind is a T.
Yeah, I always would get the toe between and toe behind thing backwards too.
Well, and it's in the model now. So because a lot of times you're like, where's the hitch at on this thing? So
well, it makes a lot of
sense.
You're
looking at pictures online, you know.
In our system, we don't sell a ton of carts, but we sell some. And I just had a friend call me looking for a used 1910 tow behind, and I just searched our system, and you can't tell easily without the. And then 1910, that's up there with the rake controller. How long that thing's been out?
Yeah.
So this is huge. That this is sunsetting. Is that the right? Or is there a space term that you could use for retiring? Decommissioning.
Yes, it is. It is on the event horizon.
1910. Going into the black hole.
It's going into the black. That was the best I could do. The event horizon. There's no going back now.
No, our seeding team and even internally are really excited about the new air carts. It's a lot of game-changing stuff on that side of the business to really get Deere where we should be and help lead the way with the production system.
I'm sure a lot of the big horsepower, test machines were probably up in Canada, where they're wide open fields, big spaces, and air seeding is a really big deal.
The meters are fully stainless steel,
yep.
Electrically driven, controlled clutches. Was it eight times more better accuracy?
Yep.
More better.
It's just legitimately a huge, huge improvement.
Curve
compensation. Yeah. Yep.
You got the, high fidelity prescriptions right now where you can control each one of those meters. So that gives you just a ton more adjustability and just accuracy on where you're putting that seed. And it really is a big deal.
We talk about these big tractors like X9 combines. Some people question why are we selling them? Why are people buying them? Think back to time. Like one of my friends bought an X9, and I used one, like a one-year-old. Like, why did you? He didn't just on paper, his farm did not justify an X9.
Yeah.
He has a family, kids in hockey, time.
They're just more productive.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, you get things done sooner.
Yep.
And we are in the north, and the windows are tight sometimes. Right?
Yeah.
So,
we'll see this year.
But
a lot of our messaging out there. It's all around 100 more acres a day or eliminate passes or two times the cart load and a mile per hour faster. Like we really focused in on our production system and what that value is bringing to our customers with this tractor.
Mm-hmm. And that's one of the things when we've talked the value of autonomy too, is does it really make my farm more money? And it's yes, but it also creates one of the most valuable things that you've got, and that's time, you know?
Mm-hmm. Is that your nice lead-in for me to say these are autonomy-ready tractors, too?
Hell yeah. Accidentally.
Yeah.
Sometimes it just works out.
That's right. So, in the U.S., all these new 9RXs, 710, 770, 830, it will be autonomy-ready and base. Ready to plug and play that vision system and have the fully autonomous solution.
And is Ethernet in base also?
Yep.
Ethernet's in
base.
Yeah,
part of the autonomy ready package.
Okay. How about the constant power harness? Is that in base?
Yeah. Can we ask about that a little bit? I mean, it's like I walked around back. First thing I looked for.
I'm sorry, we couldn't help.
Still waiting. We like selling parts too, I guess.
And you know, like for Margo, for example, I'm confident you know this. You know when you've dealt with something too much in parts that you know the part number off the top of your head?
BPF 10403 for a row crop, BPF 10404 for a four-wheel drive. Now, I'm assuming this one's longer, so it might be a new number. Is there a new one? Or are we still going to reach with a BPF 10404?
I don't know that.
Yeah. Stumped him again.
That's a good thing that you don't know that.
Yeah.
You're the manager.
I was going to say, if you knew that.
Maybe there's an 05 now.
Let's machine one down and get it laid out tomorrow.
That was the other question. I'm like, so where's the server at? I have to do some training. So I had to figure out, cause typically I bring along like a long extension harness that will hook into my server, and then I can take the monitor off of the armrest and bring it down to the ground to do training. And I was quizzing.
Yeah, because this is a new cab.
Where that's at. Because the cab's different. Right?
Yeah, so the cab, so outside dimensions, it's the same. Inside, it's completely different. So that whole right-hand side, this cab, we got rid of that fender well and the rear right-hand side. So yeah, I mean, ton of more glass, easily see outside. Get a lot more floor space.
That's one of those things.
Swivel is crazy.
Yeah.
Like now that there's nothing there, like you just.
I know your feet just kind of naturally go where there wasn't space before.
Well, when you look at that now, it's like one of those obvious things.
Yeah.
So that the reason that wheel well is there is because 8s and 7 wheels.
Yeah. Shared cab.
We're looking at this sprayer over here.
Has the same cover.
It has the same cover. All the models that don't need that
should get that.
Should get like
floaters. That right hand window question.
Des Moines.
Many people. Yeah,
it's right just now that it's like one of those like, oh, it's obvious. Like,
yeah,
so
you don't really think about it because it's always just been there, and then now you're like, oh yeah, that does make sense.
Yep, yeah, it's really
lots
nice.
Of visibility and just more space.
What's your best story that you've got from like the pilot period or the testing period from one of these tractors?
I think mine is from air seeding. So we were out in Montana. Doing that similar setup to what we got out here, 850T, we had an N560F, and then the 9RX830. And so we went out to this customer's fields, this hilliest fields that he was seeding this year, and went to a spot that he has historically never been able to make it up with full cart.
Oh.
And so we took a 9RX640 first with that same N560F tool, and then the 9RX640, and barely made it to the top with a half full cart. I mean, inching our way, like point something miles per hour, climbing over. Take that back down, get our 9RX830, N560F, C850T cart, fill it all the way up, go straight up the hill, mile per hour faster than we were. And so that's kind of where you see that claim, pull 2 times the load at a mile per hour faster. Like, it was really cool to see his eyes light up and just get excited about what this tractor is going to be able to do.
Nothing better than horsepower, right?
Oh,
like, it's just,
I know.
Did he have some expletives that came out?
I think
like
a few.
Fun?
Yeah, yes. I think a few did, yeah. So we were just laughing, you know, giggling. That's the fun stuff you get to do where you just say, I don't know if it's going to do it. Like, let's go see.
Yes.
And it delivered. So
I'm curious how it, like on a large grain cart, running machine sync with that new transmission,
Yeah.
What was the feedback on that? Or
so I haven't been in it with machine sync, but I was in it with grain cart this year in Illinois, and they loved it for the acceleration, like being able to get quickly up to speed and get back to the trucks. They were running 2X9s in that field, so you're moving a lot. They had 2,500 bushel grain carts, so
Like those big carts.
You're filling up a lot and got a lot of weight behind you, but they loved how quickly you get up speed and how smooth the ride was, because you're going at those quicker speeds and you just glide over that with the, it's got a new cab suspension in it too. And so they really felt that in those applications.
Yeah, because if you're going to be pulling a 45-foot high-speed disc, it can get bumpy.
Yeah.
I found that out. Actually, in Texas, I was part of the testing for the 2680H disc. I'd never run one before. I'd never pulled a tillage tool at 13 miles an hour. And I got a chance to run it in a wheat field. That was cut, you know, with a good draper. The problem that I found with a wheat field, I'd never even tilled in a wheat field before, but you don't see the washouts. And if you're going 13 miles an hour,
you don't know the field because it's not yours.
It was a 9520R wheel tractor, and man, there was some bouncing going on because you'd just be casually floating along 13 miles an hour, and then wham, head into the ceiling.
Yeah. So now when people ask you why do you wear a seatbelt in the tractor,
they ask me why I wear a helmet.
You need to get a space helmet.
Yes, I need an astronaut helmet. Then people would see me and go, that checks out.
Yeah.
Space cadet.
But yeah, tillage, I mean, that's the best air seeding one. And then, you know, you think about corn and soy or like the high speed tillage. That was cool too. Seeing, again, a 9RX640 with a 40 foot disc. And in this field, we were going about 4 inches deep, 12 miles an hour. And then swapping that out for a 45 foot disc on the 9RX830 and going mile and a half per hour faster.
You got there.
Eventually. And so, again, just what it unlocks is really amazing for our customers out there.
So I'll give it back to you. Is there anything else you would like to say here to our customers or people that will listen to this show?
To sum it up, it's like this really was a ground-up design. Like, we did not just stick this 18-liter engine in our old, you know, 9RX. Like, we started from scratch. We did what made sense. We have listened to customers over the years on. We have taken that. We've integrated it into this awesome new tractor that, outside of just the horsepower, really delivers on that production system level. And our customers, at least the ones that I've been with it, are really excited to finally get their hands on one starting in model year 25.
Yeah, awesome. Well, I appreciate you joining us for this podcast. This was fun.
Yeah.
Hopefully you had fun.
Yeah, it was good.
I will say, if you want to follow us on social media, we are at Kibble Equipment. I am at Kibbleman Sam. Chris is at Horob, H-O-R-O-B, on the X, and Chris Horob on Instagram. Mm-hmm. And Margo is fending off the school board on Facebook.
Yes, I'm a Facebook mom. Yep.
Are you an Instagram star?
I am not.
Okay.
No.
I just want to make sure, if you want to plug yourself, this is the time. Well, see you later.